Returning to Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1. Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. Lord, we are not ashamed to own our weakness and plead for your help today. We are indeed standing on holy ground. We are attempting to say what you has declared in your word. And we are embarking on a serious matter. Shield us from error, that we may proclaim and exalt Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.
You and I read in the scriptures of some individuals who learn from their past sins and made amends to be right with God. Not that God notices it, but God is the one that gives repentance. Others did not meet or see that need and met the consequences. King Saul was one who never learned from his past trespasses against God. He serves as an example. But he went deeper and deeper until he was finally destroyed by the Philistines. David trespassed against God grievously and learned from his trespasses. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. In the New Testament, Peter learned from his boastful arrogance of saying to his Lord, though all men betray you, I would not. 2 days later, he was cussing, swearing, and denying that he ever knew the Lord. Wonderfully, Peter was restored and given another chance to the point that he could not say in the face of Jesus that he loved him. At times we are arrogant, boastful as Christians. Today it is the same with some. They don't learn from their trespasses, or they don't learn from the trespasses of others in the church of the past. Never change course of direction. Many are continuing their merry way on that path. Here in Joshua chapter 8, the children of Israel had a fresh start. Chapter 8. The chapter is a breath of fresh air in contrast to chapter 7, where most of the chapter was given to the sin of one man and the punishment his sin incurred. Achan, his family, all that he owned were destroyed. This world and its goods would be destroyed. And some of us will go along with them, because that's where our hearts are. It's a sad reminder of a person trafficking in the procession with the organized people of God and still have secret sins. Here in our study today from the scriptures, Joshua and Israel have a second chance. And the chapter is meant to show you and me the contrast between the ways of God and the ways of man. So today we will be speaking of the Lord's way. There's nothing of spiritual value in this world that can be compared with eternal life. Nothing. 36 men in the previous chapter lost their lives. They were lost in battle as a result of one man's sin who was marching with them with hidden sins. 36 doesn't seem to be a lot when compared with the thousands. But it broke the morale of Joshua and his men and caused discouragement to the point that Joshua wanted to turn back. It broke his morale. We are men. Sin weakens us. Sometimes we come on the pulpit and our knees are knocking. You say, with me, you preach so long. Yes. Whenever we read Joshua chapter 7, we should remember what happened to Achan, a man who was from the tribe, the elite tribe of Judah. And that's why I say he's a picture of someone. Not that he's sin, but he became sin. Today we have come into chapter 8, which shows that God grants forgiveness in spite of sin. The contrast between man's ways, God's ways. Man looks at the outward appearances. God sees the inward. Man sees that which is physical and material. God looks for obedience to his will. Verse 1 begins with the words of reassurance. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be discouraged or dismayed. These encouraging words were heard so many times in Scripture. The prophet said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Of course, this is a particular promise to Jesus Christ. As he was undergoing the cross, he found comfort in this promise. But today, you and I can find comfort in this promise as we traverse this sinful world. I don't know where some people go for comfort. When a professing believer disobeyed God, they ought to fear. They ought to tremble, really. We are living in a time when many professing Christians have lost the fear of God. They don't fear God. They talk a lot, but they don't fear God. Just look how they treat the church. Look how they treat it. They don't fear him. In showing the contrast between the Lord and man, we bring attention to our first heading, and that is the difference with God. And that runs from verses 1 through 3. The difference with God. The Lord said to Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. The difference between failure and victory always begin with the word of God. And the Lord said, that's the difference. The last time, we didn't read that. And the Lord said to Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people with thee and arise. Go up to Ai. Last time Joshua didn't see anything. He trusted the sight of the others. I have given into your hand the king of Ai and the people, his city, and his land. So I want to divide this head into three quick subheadings. The first subheading is, the Lord is different in his counsel. Verse 1, part B. Take all the people of war with thee and arise and go up to Ai. What a contrast to the previous time around when it was the word of the people and their presumption that brought about Israel's downfall. Back in Joshua 7, verse 3, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up. Not concise, no definitive amount. And smite Ai and make not all the people to labor there, for there are but few. This was presumption, he said, on the people's part. And you and I have a way of measuring success in numbers. God measures success in obedience to his word. The difference with God is that his counsel is opposite to the counsel of men. Right in verse 1, he says to Joshua, take all the people of war with thee and arise and go up to Ai. You see, when we self-achieve, we have the tendency to boast and to brag. When we operate in our own wisdom and skills, we would fall. Some of us should listen. All of us. When we experience the help and the grace from the Lord, we are humble. God specified in using weak men at their weakest point to manifest his glory. Here in Joshua 8:1, the Lord said, see, observe, I have given into your hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. The Lord is different in his counsel. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. They're found in the church. There's more ungodly counsel coming from in these pews than in the Bible. And you should be able to differentiate. Who are you listening to? The Lord is different in his timing. Second subhead, verse 2. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only this time, the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. And lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. The Lord's timing is different. It is different than our timing. In the first battle, Israel was under divine judgment and chastisement. After the matter of secret sin was dealt with, at the Valley of Achor, The Lord assured victory. His timing is not our timing. There may be things in our lives that we don't see, that we don't know. And that's why we are the way we are. Paul says, and some are weak, and some are sick, and some die. It's different. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey for yourselves. The last time the spies or the people that went in, the last time the spoils were off limits. It was clear, don't touch anything. Achan grabbed what his heart lusted after. This time God commanded them to take the spoils. God gave gifts to his people. In due time, we are to wait. Some of us grab illegally. But we better be careful. Wait upon him. His makes ways. Someone said, hurry dog, eat raw food. Too many rush off in decision making. And some of you may be right here. Rush off. God is different in his timing. Hannah waited years for Samuel. Changed the whole nation. Different. Bible says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. We have to understand this in its context. God is not given a condition that we walk uprightly and we get good things. No. The good things that God gives to us are things that are profitable to us spiritually. That's the good things. He fills the hungry with good things. The gospel, the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the good things. God's timing is different than man's. His gifts are graciously given. We cannot steal the Lord's grace as they can do. It's a thief who comes to steal and to kill, to destroy. Christ came to give life. Maybe you're taking what you think is rightly yours today. But let me tell you, God is different. The difference with Yahweh, the Lord, that he's different in his counsel. He's different in his timing with giving gifts to men. And as I said, some of us are in a big rush. Rush to be married, rush to be single, a rush to conceive seed. Rush, rush, rush. God is different. C. Subheading C. Our Lord is different in his choosing. Verse 3. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose how 30,000 mighty men of valor. Set them away by night. Different. Joshua rose with all the people, not some. Took with him 30,000, not 2 or 3,000. God makes the correct choosing. He can be victorious with 300 or with 3,000, but he makes the choice. And we should listen. The Lord helped Gideon defeat the Midianites with 300 men. In Joshua 8, he chose to employ 30,000. The number 3 really is an interesting figure. 3 was in both. It denotes the perfect will of God. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Psalm 65, verse 4. Someone said, if the Lord is with us as a minority in any endeavor, we are in the majority. When the Lord is not with us, we are on our own. Whatever you're doing or seeking to do. This is our first main head. God's ways. The Lord is different in his counsel. He's different in his timing with his gifts to men. He's different in his choosing of his servants. Second, contrast. He is in contrast with the directives he gives. Verses 4 through 8. Now, in the first battle at Ai, the directives came from a few men Joshua sent out to view Ai. This second battle, the directives came from the Lord to Joshua and not the people. Verse 4 says that Joshua followed the directives God gave. His command was twofold. He commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be you all ready. The first directive was, wait and be ready. The defeat last time, if you were here, chapter 7, was a lack of preparedness. Sometimes we enter into worship, even the common setting of the sanctuary, and we are not prepared. And we should learn from these lessons and make immediate applications. We're coming here, we're expecting the people, and we're not prepared for them, and we haven't prepared the church for them. But we don't understand that we are in a battle. Even to honor God is a battle. And at times we leave a worship setting defeated and discouraged. Last time, no prayer, no direction, ill-advised counsel. Go not very far from the city, but be you all ready, is the directive. Today, many of the Lord's people are not ready. The notes were prepared 2 weeks ago. We are simply not ready. Be ready. Be ready for everything that Satan will throw our way. Be ready. I mean, we're not perfect, but we should be ready. Take, for instance, David, 2 Samuel 11. When the kings went out to battle, David was sightseeing on his rooftop. David, man after God's own heart, sightseeing on the top of the roof. When you're sightseeing, things happen. You see things that you shouldn't see. When you're window shopping, you end up buying things you can't afford. When you're surfing the web, you end up in trouble. All kinds of pop-ups. Men have a problem with pop-ups. His eyes were focused the wrong place. And soon he lost the battle that cost him. Even in the setting of worship, the enemy can be right in our midst. We are to be ready to thwart his plan. Who wants to distract? Who wants to disturb? Be ye all ready. Work with me in the Reformation that is at hand. Don't work against me. Apostle Peter tells us that we are to be sober, vigilant. Use that word in this life because of our adversary. The adversary is not out there on flat bush. We know who's up there already. The adversary is right here. Walk about seeking those to devour. So be ready. Another decisive directive to the Lord's people is be unified. Verse 5. And I, all the people that are with me, will approach unto the city. It shall come to pass when they come out against us, as at the first, that we flee before them. You see what Joshua is doing? He's learning from the past mistakes. He says, we're going to employ the same strategy. This time, we'll be hiding. And when they come and they think we are running, that's when we get them. Take your mistakes. Use it as a springboard. As Paul says, as you have yielded your members as servants of unrighteousness, even so now, yield them. Servants of righteousness. Take the sins of the past, where you fell into sin, as a springboard, how to escape sin the next time. The first time I did X, Y, Z, this time around, I would avoid X, Y, Z. I would do A, B, C, the fundamentals. Be unified with Christ. In our day of independence, the same attitude has crept into the church. You're not independent. I have the right to ask, where were you? Some of you haven't learned that. Go to another church. Nobody in here asks you anything. Go ahead. I can't function that way in the ministry. If you want me to function that way, pay me and I'll function that way. Independence. Christians are in union with Christ, but they are in unity with each other. The words in the text, and all the people appear about half dozen times in their chapter. More than half dozen times. Joshua and all the people. Joshua and all the people. Read the chapter. It's a lesson. It appears from the context that in the first battle, Joshua was AWOL. You didn't read that. He was led up, basking in the previous victory. This time, he's in company with the people. Jesus said, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. And by the way, no Christian, there's no independent Christian, no self-sufficient Christian. You ever break a branch off of a vine? You ever break off a branch off of a vine, Martin? What happens to the branch? It dries up. Yet we are independent. And some of us have literally dried up spiritually. Nothing of consequence come out of our lives. No prayer. No fellowship. Nothing. Dried up. Broken off branch. And the worst thing that would happen, men gather them and they are burned. Eternal damnation. No Christian is called to a life of ease. Joshua was back there hanging out. When you and I are at ease, we are most vulnerable, like David. At ease, I deserve a break. Come on. I need one too. But I wouldn't be at ease. First directive was be ready. Second, be unified, be in unity of faith. Unity in doctrine. Unity in duty. This time, Israel set a booby trap for the enemy. A pretense that they were retreating to draw away men, the men of Ai, from their camp. To make it look like they were running as they did the first time. Verse 6. For they'll come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say they flee before us as at the first time. Therefore, we will flee before that strategy. So, in these directives given, Joshua called Israel to be ready. He called them to be in unity with each other and with him. But thirdly, they were called to be obedient. Verse 7 and 8. Then, shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city. The Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. Shall come, it shall be when you have taken the city. You set the city on fire according to the commandment of the Lord. You shall do. See, I have commanded you. Be obedient. Listen. See, I have commanded you. Joshua obviously spoke these words, but the words were the commandments of his Lord that the people of God were called to obey. He just spoke what God said to him. So these are our first two headings this morning. Difference between man's ways and the Lord's. He's different in his counsel. He's different in his timing. He's different in his choosing. Two, the directives given this time around were from the Lord and not from man. But we come to our final contrast with the Lord in our message, and that is his commission to Joshua. He gives a commission. 9 through 13, and that will bring us to the end. Verse 9 says, Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And the narrative specified that Joshua was among the people. Didn't read that last time. This time Israel was sent forth by their commander. Last time around, it's not this way. You remember Joshua 7, verse 4, if you look across the page, Joshua 7, verse 4, you read, "So there went up there of the people to Ai, 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai." Had no commission, of course, from God. It was an individual undertaking. There's no clear light given in their commission. And sometimes we want to undertake missions and God hasn't given us clear light. You know, he makes it obvious that, no, wait. But the Lord's will never lead a person contrary to his word. Anytime that you are going contrary to God's word, you can rest assured that it is not the Lord's will. Take for instance this Sunday work thing. Take for instance, unless you are in a mercy job that you have to do it, but deliberately setting about to schedule that, that is not the Lord's will. The Lord never leads us away from his word. If better cannot be done, we just have to wait. We just have to pray. And we don't believe this. We think that we are in the land of opportunity. It's the land of opportunity. Yeah. It is also the land of something else too. It's the land of this spiritual destruction. We ain't listening. We ain't praying. We ain't counseling. The Lord's counsel is different and his timing is different. We ain't listening. Don't trust God. Oh, we trust God to save us, but he can't keep us. He doesn't have the ability to keep us. Commission 10:11. Read it. Joshua rose up early in the morning, numbered the people, went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. And all the people, here we're reading this phrase over and over, even the people of war that were with him went up and drew nigh and came before the city. Pitch. The north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. You took about 5,000. I'll get to that. Yeah, you took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. Now some commentators read this text in verse 12. This 5,000. And they see a discrepancy with verse 3, which says Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men. There's no discrepancy. They're nitpicking and find, oh, they take 30,000, they take 5,000. I don't know why. Great men. More knowledgeable than I am. But they see a discrepancy here. Joshua took 5,000. There's a reason why this figure is mentioned. I wouldn't get into it. And I hope that you don't come to me about it. But there's no contradiction. Joshua used this 5,000 for the ambush. You know, you and I know full well that you don't put all your eggs in one basket. It's bad military strategy, therefore. Put all your eggs in one basket. If the enemy comes, you lose all. You diversify your forces in battle. You put some here, you put some there. It's just like your money. You don't put all your money in the stock market. You're smart. Or you don't put all your money underneath the rug, like some of you do. Diversify. That's what Joshua is doing. You may remember when Jacob was returning to meet his brother Esau. He diversified. I mean, Jacob was a smooth operator. But at least he employed that strategy. Remember, Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, into two bands. And said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company will escape. There's a wise man, we're considering him tonight. Come back. As I said, Jacob was a trickster. But he was wise. Joshua was wise in his being a commander. And verse 13 says, when they had set the people, even all the hosts that was on the north of the city and their liars in wait, on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. This is the overview of the history that we have looked at, brethren. It's true. It's written here for our learning and for our admonition. We can benefit from this passage in this overview. It is meant to show us the contrast between the ways of men or the ways of man and the ways of God. Israel was defeated in the first battle because they were resting on the arm of flesh. They were under God's wrath and they didn't know it. They had sin in their camp and it was hidden. It wasn't dealt with. And God brought them under chastisement. They were presumptuous in assuming that the Lord was with them, when in truth, they were under his wrath. And be careful. The life of the Christian begins with the Word of God. And the Lord said, if we are not paying heed to the Word of God, we have no business trafficking with the people of God. We are looking to introduce the Lord's table, an ordinance that the believer should practice. Be careful. Don't become a liability because of hidden sin. Confess and forsake your sin. Sin is not spoken about in the church today. We are one big happy family. Let's sing. Be blessed. I hate to hear that. Be blessed. What is that? Don't tell me that when you get letters. Be blessed. That's charismatic language. Let's reform our language. Be blessed what? Or stay blessed. Or you can stay blessed when you was never blessed. Stay away from those phrases. Contrast. After the guilt of sin was removed, God revealed it. Joshua dealt with it. In the valley of Achor, the Lord was pleased to prosper this second endeavor. He was pleased to prosper it. We're not perfect people. But we should seek God's cleansing day by day. If God is going to prosper us, he that covers his sin shall not prosper. What's the other line say? But he who confess his sin and forsake them, God will show mercy. God is favorable in his grace. This These are some clear observations from our study of God's Word today. How can you and I appropriate the study of the Scriptures? First, it is the Lord Jesus that makes the difference in our lives. Christ. Joshua 8:1 begins saying, "And the Lord said unto Joshua." The last time, the people said. And the problem with some of us, we're gossiping on WhatsApp, Instagram, and whatever else, and we forget what the Lord has said. What the preacher said. I ain't God, but I represent Him. I should be taken seriously. It is Christ that makes the difference in a life, in a church. There are many voices today, contrary voices. The way of the Lord begins with the word of the Lord. No word, no way, no light. When Israel's trespass was revealed, God spoke to Joshua, "Get up. Why are you lying on your face? Israel have sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant. But this is the first step in one being on the way of the Lord. Get up. Confess." We earlier quoted from Psalm 1. We quote again, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, the unconverted person, shall perish." The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Now, we can say that the way of the righteous is Christ. But let's not go there. The Lord has made His people His righteousness. And we are in Him. And if we have His righteousness, our way would prosper, like Joseph. Let's stay away from the spiritual interpretation. Forget it. That's the problem with some of us. We see so much Christ in the Bible that we don't ever see ourselves. For in Him, we are made righteousness, justification, and wisdom. And if we are, we don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. There are many voices declaring the way of salvation, but the way of Christ is the way of grace. Joshua was told, "See, I have given you and into your hand the king of Ai. I have given you victory over sin and Satan and his foes. I have given you." Mark chapter 16. You didn't gain it. You didn't snatch it. You didn't grab it like Achan did. Understand the word of God. When the Lord makes a difference in a person's life, the Lord gives the directives to that person. And that person or those persons follow those directives. So you know that you know that you know that you belong to Christ. "For my sheep hear my voice, and I give them eternal life." By the way, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So this is a clear gospel message today. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Saul of Tarsus was given directives. It will be told you what you must do. And after that, I'm sure Frank will talk about this, Paul was never the same. He was never the same. But first, he was given directives. The mastermind Paul, the theologian, had to be given directives. Change life. May the Lord help us to see these things are not just history, but gospel. Let's pray.
Amen.
We give you thanks, O God, for your help today. Is your help. My help cometh from the Lord. We rejoice because of your help. We boast in the help of God and not the help of man. Glorify your Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.